yesterday, as I was mentioning, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, upon every good deed that is implemented, Allah ta'ala gives two effects, two results. One is that good deed earns nur, light. And secondly, alongside that and in parallel with that is barakah, blessings. In the same way, if a person sins, or the action of sin also has two effects and two things or two effects that run with it, with that sin. One is oppression, dhulmat. So one, when you do good deed, you have nur. But a sin, every sin earns or breeds darkness. Darkness. Doesn't matter if it's a so-called small sin, but there are two effects within that or with that sin. One is the darkness, the wretchedness, and on the good deed there was barakah as the second thing, and here we have total loss. What is this? Total loss, a sad effect. Where we have darkness and loss, wretchedness, always a person has misfortune. Oh, my business is not flourishing. I don't know what's happened. Somebody's cast a spell on me. My children, this has happened to my children. I don't know why I'm getting punished. Allah doesn't like me. Nauzubillah, people say this. My shop, my business was flourishing, nicely running, good turnover. I had, it's all gone downhill. Oh, I earn a lot, but there's no barakah. I don't understand. What should I do? There's no blessings in my money, my wealth. Because every time a person is surrounded by distress due to the sin, we don't realize what is the root cause of this. And then we go, if we don't understand the root cause, then we run towards fake or wrong solutions. We go to this person, a magician or an exorcist, etc., a magician or black magic. But we don't understand that all of this loss that we are suffering is the wretchedness of sin, the wretched effect of sin. And as I said, that every good deed has two good effects, nur and barakah. And the nur and barakah runs in parallel with the human being. And when a person dies, the nur stays with him or her, continues into the hereafter. In the same way, sin, the wretchedness and the darkness and the misfortune attached to sin continues through life. At the time of death and after death, may Allah forgive, how easily we sin. It's just about even waggling the tongue in the wrong way. Oh, just a little bit, just 1 second, I didn't say anything wrong. But look how big a sin a person commits and how big a loss a person earns that after death. Rather, forget after death, at the time of death. That if a person during his life or her life sins and there's darkness and loss and wretchedness attached to that person during the life, then imagine the death. The death will be severe. The life, the soul will be extracted in a painful way. The person dies in a very bad state. And then the time has passed. It's too late. Remember this? It's too late. The question doesn't arise that that person can remove that punishment. Because this is the decision of Allah. Very easily a person sins. Very easily. Just like nur of a good deed continues through life and into the grave, then the wretchedness and darkness due to sin also goes into the grave. And the grave itself becomes dark. That when a person has done dhulam and oppressed and done wrong deeds, and there's darkness in the life and misfortune and unhappiness, then the darkness of those sins travels with that person into the grave. And then the adab starts. The punishment starts. And when a person has nur and light due to good deeds, the good person, and he comes out of the grave on the day of judgment and his face will be shining like the moon on the 49th. But the sins that are attached to a person's life, and when he dies, the sins and the darkness are stuck to that person and they go into the grave with that person, then that person will wake up and come out of the grave in a very bad way and form. And on the day of judgment, just like I said, the good people who are good will have nur and light. But what about the sinful people? What will be their hal? Allah is great. What will be their hal? That nur that will take a person to success in the hereafter and across the bridge of Surat, but sins and darkness and wretchedness will drag a person into Jahannam. The opposite extreme. We say, oh, well, he just said this a little bit. I didn't say too much to that person. I wasn't bad to the person. Yeah, but it's backbiting, gossip mongering, malice, lying, committing haram, fraud, we think in our mind, it's only a small sin. Look, I pray salah, I've been on hajj, and I'm good, and I'm pious. It doesn't make a difference, does it, if I do a little sin all night long, looking at immodest images or pictures, and immodest actions are continuing even through Ramadan. People are doing wrong actions. So where's the effect of your fast? Where's the value of your fast? In the day we think, oh, I'm fasting, so as soon as the sun sets, then in our home we have the immodesty and haram and lawful actions. Not correct. And this is deception, where the nafs deceives us, and nafs and shaitan, how they deceive us, to think that we are good, we're okay, but Allah is Kareem, Allah is Rahim upon the human beings. Allah's rahmah overpowers and overwhelms Allah's ghadab. Now if you tell me one point, I'd like to ask that, which human being is there that who does not commit a sin? Who doesn't commit a sin? Is there anyone out there? Everybody's prone to sin. There's risk, and sins, when they're committed, they stick to that person and they continue that person. But Allah's karam and mercy that He's prepared a scenario wherein a person, even if he's sinning, if he desires or she desires, then the sin can be washed away and eliminated during the lifetime. Imagine Allah's karam. Imagine this, that if a human being desires, Allah Ta'ala has made such a preparation that here and now we can eliminate our sin. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. That Allah's karam and mercy, blessings that He's given us the opportunity. How Allah Ta'ala has prepared in such a way that do an action, do tawbah, your sins will be washed away. Aha, Allah's karam, mercy. Tell me, and on the heart comes coolness. I swear by Allah, the coolness comes to the heart. Otherwise, tell me, how can we human beings, how can we survive with the sins attached to us? I can't understand. There will be no solution. But Allah's mercy is there. Allah says, do tawbah, repent. And when the human being repents, Allah Ta'ala eliminates that sin, washes it away, totally removes its memory. I remember an event, Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat, Hazrat Tanwi rahmatullah alayh, based on tawbah, repentance, that how people, what type of people there are in the world, alhamdulillah, sincere. So this was the day and age of Hazrat Tanwi rahmatullah alayh, and an individual came and approached him and said, Hazrat Sheikh, I want to do tawbah, repent. Just like people go, like I went, we go to mashayikh or to pious people and say such a thing. And so this individual came to Hazrat Tanwi, to Hazrat Hakim al-Ummah, the doctor of the Ummah, the Hakim of the Ummah, Hazrat Tanwi rahmatullah, he said, I want to do tawbah. And Hazrat said, okay. He said, Hazrat said, but I have a condition before we go through the tawbah process. And Hazrat asked, tell me, what do you do? He said, yes, fair enough, tell me, what would you like to know? And Hazrat said, what do you do? This is the tariqah, the method of tawbah, repentance. He said that I am a thief. Subhanallah. Imagine, so look at the style. He didn't hide his occupation. He made it apparent. He said, I'm a thief, I'm a burglar, I'm a bandit, a highway robber. Because a thief is a thief, and there are bigger thieves. One is a thief, minor thief, then there's a burglar, highway robber. Then Hazrat Tanwi Ramadan said, fine, I will give you bayah, and you can pledge allegiance and do tawbah. But he was Hakim al-Ummah. He said, there's a condition. He said, just please tell me, I will fulfill the condition. Now look here, tawbah. This is how a person should do tawbah. Alhamdulillah. He said, what is the condition, Shaykh? And Hazrat said that since the first day that you started to steal, commit theft, and until the last day that you committed theft, all the people that you looted and stole from, make a list of all those individuals and bring that list to me, and tawbah will be carried out. He said, okay, Hazrat. He went, he thought about it, analyzed, and he made a whole list, A to Z, that these are the people that I stole from, this is how much I stole, this is the amount. And he came back to his Shaykh. After about 2-3 days, he said, Hazrat, here's the list I have made of all the burglaries I did. Hazrat looked at the list and said, okay, fine. Now the second action you have to do is that every individual that you stole from and you committed theft from, go to every one of those individuals and present this scenario to them. Say to the victim, your victim, say to each victim of yours that I committed theft and I burgled your house or your property. I'm in front of you. I am the burglar. I am the thief. I want to do tawbah to Allah. I want to repent. So I've come with 2 scenarios to present to you. Either for the sake of Allah, you forgive me, and Allah will give you a big ajr on the day of judgment for this. Huh? The thief is saying this to his victims. Subhanallah. That the ajr you will get is a massive, that you, a door of paradise is opening to you, O victim, for you, O victim. Imagine, look at Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat, that he opened a big door of tawbah, not just for the thief, but for the victims as well. What a sheikh, that forgiveness is extending not just to the thief, not the burglar, the thief who's being forgiven. Rather, subhanAllah, the deen of Allah, so great and visionary, that to such an extreme length, Allah Ta'ala opened the doors of tawbah to benefit everyone. And the second point, when he went and he spoke to his victims, and said that I am the thief who stole from you. But if you don't agree on this, the first condition is that please forgive me for the sake of Allah. I oppressed you, I committed excess, and you know the reward in the Quran and the Hadith. I have no words to explain, but due to me asking you for tawbah, you will succeed if you forgive me. But secondly, if you don't want to forgive me or it's difficult for you, then I am indebted to you and I will tell you that this is how much I stole from you and I owe this to you. Then I promise to you that I will try my best in my life that I will repay you the funds that I stole from you before I die. And this is the requirement of Sharia. So now it's your choice, of my victim. Either you accept my request and ask Allah for my forgiveness and forgive me and get a high grade status in the hereafter for being flexible and negotiating and accepting my request, or I will owe you what I stole. So Hazrat said that go to each victim and get it in writing from each victim that I have forgiven you. And you have to get this in writing that I've forgiven you, or the demand from the victim that no, you have to pay the victim back. There's a debt on your head. So write one of these statements from each victim. So when the thief came back with the list, then look at the subhanAllah, brilliant effect, alhamdulillah, that all of the victims that he went to visit, everyone replied that for the sake of Allah, we forgive you. And look at the kamal, there was a Hindu. Obviously, he wasn't a Muslim. When he went to the Hindu, who he stole from the Hindu, committed burglary from the Hindu, and the Hindu wrote that, for the sake of Allah, I have forgiven this man. And so here Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat said, that now, think yourself that insan, the human being, when he extends himself and travels to Allah, then Allah Ta'ala's assistance becomes very significant indeed. That no individual, doesn't matter how hard is the action you want to carry out, and the thoughts come in your head, if I go there and ask for forgiveness, he'll hit me and say, you are the thief who stole from me. And this is most verily correct in life would happen. If you steal from someone, if you're a burglar, and if someone comes to you and says, that, for example, I'm the victim, you say, no, I stole from you, then there will be a big clash. You could say, oh, go to the police. I will explain to the police that you stole from me. So there was a big risk in his action. But what a great and capable sheikh he went to, because he knew, Hazrat, that Allah Ta'ala's help will come. He had yaqeen. Hazrat Thanvi Ramdhar had yaqeen that Allah's help will be so significant and strong that this person, student, will be safe from all of the tests. Otherwise, each victim would have called the police and said, oh, this is the man who stole from me, and he would have been stuck. But subhanAllah, this was the visionary thinking and steps of Hazrat Thanvi Ramdhar that he gave him a great action. He said, go to each victim. And he didn't come back with a list. He said, whatever you want to do, or you grab hold of me, or hit me, or tell the police, but today I have to ask you for forgiveness. At least I'll be saved from the loss of thereafter, because the sins that I've committed, he had yaqeen that his death will come and his time in the grave will come. So he went back to Hazrat. He said, Hazrat, here's the lift. And Hazrat gave him bayah. Alhamdulillah, now you think yourself. Analyze of, imagine his tawbah, his repentance, and what faith and blessings he must have attained from his sheikh, and how he will have improved his akhirah, my brothers, his hereafter. So this is an event, one example that we can learn from. That what it teaches us, that whoever gets the tawfiq to do tawbah from Allah, in other words, whoever from us has the ability to repent, it's a big, big thing. And if a person gets an opportunity to repent and he doesn't appreciate the repentance, then that person will get double, triple punishment. He went to a sheikh, a person, and look at the tariqah of tawbah. So here, this also proves the methodology. When a person wants to do tawbah, he shouldn't commit excess drama and make up things. No, this is the situation between the servant of Allah, the slave of Allah, and Allah. And he's becoming free from a big jail. How Allah Ta'ala is setting that person free. He's a sinful person, this punishment, and Allah's big karam, mercy and blessings, that Allah Ta'ala, number one, gives tawfiq, ability for a human being to do tawbah. Then Allah Ta'ala sends that person who wants to do tawbah to the wali of Allah, to his company. We cannot repay this one favor to Allah. There was a person, 80 years old he was, and he cried. He came to Hazrat, my sheikh, and he cried and he regretted. He was tearful, And while he was crying, he said, "Hazrat, my Sheikh, Hazrat, I have no guarantee in my life. I'm very old. I've thought a lot. And how can I repay the favor you've given to me, Hazrat? You are my Sheikh and you've taught me things." He said, "I swear by Allah that even all of my skin on my body, if I was to take my skin off and use the skin to make a leather shoe, and I gave that to you, even that is not enough for me to repay the favor you've given to me, that you've taught me the name of Allah." So if a person doesn't appreciate something in his or her heart, appreciate, value something, then you cannot benefit. Let's do dua to Allah. We are in Ramadan. Brilliant opportunity to repent, to do tawbah. May Allah Ta'ala give us such a tawbah like this, because we should not leave any sign of sin or thought of sin after we repent. And then Allah helps. Never think, "I'm impure, I'm a criminal, I'm the worst, I do so many sins, I'm this and that." No, we shouldn't think this at all. Most definitely Allah Ta'ala's help comes and it saves a person. Doesn't matter how many sins he has committed, even if your sins are massed and they rise up to the skies and the heavens, even then Allah will forgive. What is tawbah? Repentance. And in this day and age, we see very few examples of tawbah repentance like this. But there's an opportunity, there's a chance. Allah Ta'ala gives us an opportunity. May Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq to do tawbah in Ramadan. If we do tawbah, then what else do we need? What else do we need? We've done tawbah, we repented, but again Allah Ta'ala is making us revise and go over our tawbah. That have we stuck to our promises? How much Allah Ta'ala is merciful to us. He sent us to the door. There's no door beyond this door of tawbah. There is no door. There is no method. There may be hundreds of thousands and millions of people who don't know what is tawbah. They don't know what is repentance. What is a sheikh, a teacher, a khanka? They don't even know the name of any sheikh. And even if they know the name of the sheikh, they say, "Oh, it's bad, it's not correct, what is this," etc. So we need to get away from all of these whispering of shaitan. Allah Ta'ala has removed us from the whispering of shaitan. He's given us His mercy and grace. He's taken us to the door to which many millions of people in the world cannot reach. He has sat us in front of a sheikh, a true teacher. He's made us do tawbah. He's taught us the name, His name, the name of Allah. Even if then we're not steadfast, we don't appreciate Him, we don't do shukr, and we're not grateful, then Allah Ta'ala says, tell me, what will be the hashr for that person? The consequences, the conclusion. My brothers, maut is severe. It is going to come quickly to all of us. Death. There's no guarantee that I have no guarantee that I can even stand up from this position. Can I walk home? And I make big plans beyond that. So that's it. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawbah and the ability to be steadfast on our repentance. Ameen.